We are back. If you haven't already, tune into our last episode for the first half of this conversation. Enjoy. I'm Alex.
And I'm Rob.
I'm from Novi Sad, Serbia.
And I'm from New York. Alex and I started dating after meeting on a German cruise ship where we were entertainers.
And now we are in a long-distance relationship.
Until we can be together again, we decided to start a podcast.
We may come from different backgrounds, but that's exactly what keeps the conversation going for hours.
We can't wait for you to listen to this episode.
So sit back and enjoy.
Because we have a lot to talk about.
Anna didn't answer her
question,
right?
Yeah, so sorry. We keep getting on. Anna,
that's fine.
We have a lot to talk about.
That's fine. We have a lot to talk about. So on the ship, I have a good memory, Bjorn. Bjorn also has a good memory. He's terrible.
I don't. I know. I'm like Dory.
Is Dory. Yeah, so like I said, like most of the time, I went out with people. However, I do agree that if there's somebody who won't go out with you, you 100% should explore everything when you're on a cruise ship, because it's just, it's insane, isn't it? It's out of this world. It's why we all love it. But my other experience that I would say is the most incredible thing. I went backpacking with my best friend for his 30th, in between my two Diva contracts, which is in between the first contract that I met Bjorn and the second contract when I liked Bjorn. No, I'm joking, Bjorn.
I
went backpacking with my best friend for his birthday, and we did everything we did. We went back to Thailand because I loved it and he loved my story so much he wanted to join. We also did Indonesia. We did Singapore again. We did Dubai. We did quite a few things. And when I was in Bali, because we island hopped in Bali, we did Lombok, we did Gili Tea, we did Bali. It kind of turned into a solo adventure. We climbed Mount Bator, which is, I think if my memory serves me correctly, it's about 1,750 meters above sea. It takes about 2.5 hours to 3 hours to climb. You start the climb at about 2 a.m., so 2 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black. Absolutely pitch black, and it just gets steeper and steeper until you are literally, you know, rock climbing. It's really tough. It's really, really tough. And there's like three, I say there's three summits, they say there's two, but for me, I say there's three. There's officially two summits. So, you know, a lot of people stayed at the first summit to watch the sunrise come up. You are above cloud level. It's insane. Go up to the second summit, where, you know, there's steam coming out and there's they give you a breakfast and you can heat your breakfast up on the steam from the volcano. It's incredible. I freaked out because the second summit it's so steep and it's the ground, it's almost like sand and it is just constantly moving. So you have to have quick feet and you have to go. And I went when I got halfway, literally I'm talking less than 3.5 meters from the top of this second summit. And I just freaked out and all of a sudden just froze and went, there's no way I'm getting down from here. Like, unless I'm just rolling on my ass, there's not a way I'm going to make this down. So I just started panicking. And I saw my best friend, he was smoke. Like, he was at the top. He'd gone, didn't look behind. Like, he was like, no, screw this. I'm having the best time of my life. And I was like, there's nobody else behind me. And then I saw there was this little side area where I could just kind of roll myself very slowly to the one side of this volcano. And there was actually a little hut that had been built into the side of it with two of the tour guides, and they were cooking themselves some hot chocolate on a little steam pod from the volcano, which was insane. So you had most of the tour at the first summit, a lot of the second part of the tour at the second summit, and I was like, this is my own summit. I feel like this is my own summit for me. This is what I made a promise to myself that day, that I would never, ever let myself get in front of me again, because it was the most incredible experience. But then at the same time, my best friend, his name's Matt, he said it was cool, but everybody was crammed onto one area of the top of this summit to get the pictures, to see the sunrise, to do all of this. I had that whole area to myself, and I had people below me. I had people, but I'm talking maximum 4 meters above me. I didn't make, I climbed 171 meters. I couldn't make it the extra four. But at the same time, where I was the most incredible thing. It was just me. Like maybe a meter and a half to my left, there was, you know, two locals, of the tour guides, and it was just the clouds were, we were above the clouds, the sun was rising. It was the most incredible. And although, yes, I had gone traveling with my best friend, and I'm so happy that he went up there, I kind of needed that for myself, just to make myself that promise. Yeah. And it was me. Mm. Like, there was nobody else. There was nobody taking pictures or shoving me out of the way to get a picture. I think I'd barely taken... I did take a video, and I do have some pictures, but I barely took pictures of it because I just took in that moment fully on my own. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible.
Yeah.
And that was the most... That, to me, sticks with me because I had a moment. And I literally... I still get in my head now, and it's so easy for us to wake up and to see an inspirational quote and go, do you know what? I'm not going to let myself get in my head anymore. I'm just going to stop doing it. Uh-huh. But, you know, we're human at the end of the day, and we're going to get into our heads. But that was why I made that promise to myself. As much as I can, just do it, because more than not, you can do it. You always can. Mm. It's just... you're getting in your own way. So yeah, so that's my favorite thing on the ship. My favorite thing is deck six, the crew deck. I think Ankara was at deck five, I'm not sure. The front, you know, the front of the ship. So if you go out,
Ankara was six.
Was it six? So if you go out there on the front of the ship at night when nobody's around and it is pitch black and you don't see land, you can't see where the sea becomes the sky and where the sky becomes the sea. That's something I did on my own a lot on the ship, a lot. Like even when my husband was there, I'd just go for a little walk on my own and I would just sit there and just stare into like the pitch blackness and then the moon on the ocean. And that's something that I really miss, because that is just nothing like it.
I miss that so much.
There's
too.
Nothing like it.
And the stars.
The stars.
Like,
you've never seen anything like it. The stars at sea. Because there's no, especially on crew deck, because there's no pollution. If you're on the passenger deck, there's all that pollution from the lights and the everything on the pool deck. But when you're on the crew deck at night, it's the most incredible experience, guys. Oh, that's my biggest heartbreak, I think. But,
So speaking of hearts, now's our transition to this man you keep speaking about, this Ukrainian man that we all know and love, but that our audience doesn't know yet. Oops. Quick transition, but I'm sure Bjorn can chime in because he's been with you for a lot of your relationship with your husband. But I'd love to just hear about, like, first of all, how you guys met, but then maybe your first trek to Ukraine.
Okay, so I met Sasha. So my husband's name is Sasha. He is Ukrainian, and I met him on my second contract. And we hated each other. I really, really liked his roommate.
See, I guess she just hates everybody that she ends up loving.
Yeah.
First she hates, then she loves. Yeah. Okay. I feel better now.
But he was just not my type at all. And not at all. He was such a pretty boy. He had like a big gold hoop earring and a big massive chain. And I was just like, no. Like he, no. He's a fantastic dancer. But it was so funny because he didn't like me either. So I really liked his roommate.
That's so funny.
He really liked the F3 at the time, Rob, so your position. One of the other singers. And so on the ship, you're only allowed to drink a glass of wine. So it was one night after a glass of wine, and we decided, well, he came up after his glass of wine and said to me, hey, let me take you back to your cabin. And I was like, no, I'm good. Like I was absolutely on my way to, we was in St. Petersburg that night with the midnight sun, so it never fully sets. So I was on my way to deck six. I think it's actually deck five on the Sphinx. So I was on my way to the crew deck just to have my, you know, my moment on my own at night to see this midnight sun. It was about 1 a.m. And he was like, no, I'll take you. So he took me there. This is the worst thing ever. And I, honest to God, I still, to this day, I really, really tease him for it. He pushed me up against the... this is family-friendly, people. Don't worry. I've given you a family-friendly family-friendly version. He pushes me up against, like, the, you know, the cold metal side of the ship outside. And it was actually a really romantic moment, if it wouldn't have been for that one glass of wine. And he says, you know, it's now or never. I was literally like, you've said said two words to me. Now, bear in mind, we're in rehearsals for 6 weeks on land, and then you have 2 weeks on premieres. So we've spent a good 2 months in the vicinity of each other for a long time. And he's barely said two words to me.
It's now or never.
Pushes me against this wall. It's now or never. And I was like, if we was on land, I'd tell you you were drunk. But of course, we're on a ship, so that can't be possible. It was horrendous. And then we just had lots of adult cuddles and fell in love eventually. Mm-hmm.
Before we get back to the episode, we have something important to share with you.
As you all know by now, this podcast was started as a way for Alex and I to connect while we are apart.
Little did we know how much the podcast would grow into something new.
In order to increase the quality of our content, it takes a great deal of time, attention, and hard work.
That's where you come in.
If you want to support us, we have set up a way for you to do just that.
Go to anchor.fm/We have a lot to talk about, and click on support.
You will then have the option to contribute however much you would like to in order to support us and this podcast.
We already have a few supporters and are so thankful for your contribution.
Now, let's get back to the episode.
So that was good. It took a while. I think we were just friends. We were just really good friends. But yeah, so that was cute. Sasha had some troubles of his own, and like we kind of just helped each other out. And then it wasn't until I actually had to disembark. I had tonsillitis for 13 weeks, which as a singer, I was fine. Like it wasn't affecting my voice, but I was just in pain. I was just in so much pain. Yeah. And eventually I was just like, you know, I'm tired of being in pain now. So I had to disembark to have my tonsils removed. And that's when he came with a box of Russian chocolates called Bilochka from Rushen, which is like a big Ukrainian famous chocolate shop. So these chocolates were called Bilochka, and he just brought these with me in a huge magnet. It said something in Russian, and he said, I can't promise you anything, but I just know that my heart doesn't want to say goodbye right now. And that broke me. And I was like, oh my goodness. And we've been together every single day since. I couldn't rejoin that contract, but I stupidly spent about £650 just to see him for 12 hours because he was docking in Palma de Mallorca. And when you docked there, I think you would dock at like 6 a.m. and then you would disembark at like 10 at night.
So you could have the whole day.
Yeah, so I booked a hotel. So I arrived the night before they docked, and I left the morning after they docked. So I had two nights there.
Wow.
Just to see him, and that kind of also was like, yeah, no, we should really give this a go. And then we didn't get our next contract together, so we spent like another contract apart. And then our first contract together was on Diva when I met Bjorn. And I think that's why we were just figuring our own relationship out on that contract. So I think we were lucky that the cast that I met Bjorn on, we kind of went straight back to that same ship after a break. So we kind of stayed together for two contracts. Mm-hmm. That was really cute because then we had the time to figure each other out. That was really fun. But yeah, and then
that was in general, that's very rare that we had that on Diva. Yeah. Just a little side story that they basically recast an entire cast of singers again, except for one girl, because she wanted to go to a different ship because of her relationship. But yeah, that's just a little fun, because usually casting never did that. They never would put, and I even knew of a cast that had specifically asked to be recast altogether again, and they were like, no, we cannot do that. But with our Diva cast, they did. They kept everyone except one. So yeah. So it was the same group of people for a really long time.
Yeah, we
which was good. Nice. We also spent, like, to get to know each other.
Yeah, we spent like just over a year of our lives together, like constantly. Yeah. That was really cool.
Thankfully, we liked each other.
By then, yeah. I'm joking.
I liked her all the time.
I'm totally joking. I am joking. So that was it. Then we've just never really thought of anything else. I mean, you guys know, like, it's when something clicks, it just clicks, and it doesn't matter which country you're from, you just make it work. Like, you literally just make it work. Like, I mean, come on, you're in Serbia now. That's insane. I'm slightly jealous of that because my husband's in Ukraine and I'm not. Like, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my job doesn't allow me to be there. But, yeah, it's just, it's incredible. And it really is a ship romance. And the whole fear of it is, how do you get that to translate on land, right? But I just, you know, so many people are so skeptical about it. But until you know, you don't know until you're in it. Yeah. And like I said, like when something clicks, it clicks. And there really doesn't matter. It's no, there's no different to being on the ship than it is on land. Of course, it's different because you get to do the things that you love doing together, which is awesome. And traveling together, which is awesome. But being on land, you have new, like, new things and new new journeys and new little things to figure out together, which is fun.
So your first adventure to Ukraine.
That was...
What was that like?
That was
And when was that?
That was a culture shock for me. I traveled there. When did I go there? I traveled there my first time before Diva, so before our contract together. And I remember meeting his mum for the first time, and his mum doesn't speak any English. And at the time, I did not speak any Russian. There's something to say. I can't roll my R's, and this is a that's something that you kind of need to do to speak Russian. So there's a I actually don't know if it's similar in Serbian, Alex. I'm not sure, but there's a polite way of greeting somebody. So, you know, like the hi and the hello when you're with friends, you would just say privet. But if you're first time meeting someone, you would say Strasvutia, and I still can't say it because I can't roll my R's, and I was so nervous about meeting his mum. And I just
Alex told me this the other day. That you would say, like, dobrodan, instead of ciao, but everyone would say ciao. Like, if you... But I just found this out. But, you know, his parents are, like, totally...
I mean,
they're totally fine with it, but it was... But they also have that, too.
Yeah, but there is... Yeah, there is, like... they're fine with it, but there is, like, a polite form and, like, casual form.
But luckily, they know that... I mean, obviously, they know I'm foreign, so, like, they're not gonna... If I say ciao instead of the right thing...
And they're not so, like, you know, formal anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But, exactly. Like she said, there is, like... when you were, like, a kid, you will not say ciao to like some old like neighbor that you really not really know or whoever. This is the same, I guess. When you were there for the first time, you were like, what is acceptable, what's not acceptable. Sorry, continue.
No, that's fine. No, but yeah, it's interesting. So you say dobry dan, because they say dobry den, which I think is good day, if I remember correctly, in Russian.
Actually, I think in we have more similarities with Ukrainian language than with Russian. Also, something that I kind of find out on the ship, I didn't know. Continue.
Sorry. So I was so focused on saying Strasbourg, like, and I said, please, before I introduce myself, just explain to her that I have tried. I had YouTube videos. I was trying everything to roll my R's. I had the fattest, weakest tongue. My singing teachers have always gone on about me. To, you know, just won't. For some reason, like, it gets in the way with everything. This sounds really sexual, but it's not. Like, it's just horrendous.
Bjorn, you're just losing it.
It's just, and I've never been able to roll my R's. And I was doing everything so much. I was putting so much pressure on myself just to be able to greet Sasha's mother in like the correct way, because I really wanted to make a good impression. So I got through that, and then I cooked a huge meal, which is quite fun because at the time I was eating meat, and I baked like this chicken. I used to do this dish with this chicken on a beer can, where you like stand a chicken upright on a half a can full of beer. It's from like an English chef over here, and it keeps the chicken moist as you're cooking it in the oven, and it really, really worked. Mm. And I was really proud of myself. I'd marinated it, and it was so tasty. It was so good. And one of the things in England that we find quite rude is that you should never really salt your food or season your food until you've tasted it, because it's, you know, you want to see how the chef has prepared it. And his mum just sat down, bless her, immediately with this food that I'd prepared, and I'd spent forever preparing it, and she just got like half a tub of salt and just poured it everywhere all over this dish. And I was like, sure, you enjoy that. But anyway, it was fine. I joked to this, it was fine. But there were times where, Sasha was renting this apartment just so I could stay, because Sasha is not from Kiev and I traveled to Kiev. Where Sasha is from is a place called Donetsk, which is down in the southeast of Ukraine. It borders Russia and there is a war going on there at the moment. So Sasha couldn't go home because of the war and he would be taken for the army. And I can't visit there because of the war and there's block posts and it's not safe to go. Like Sasha's parents' house, it's falling down at the moment, which is sad because of the tanks driving past and there's rockets landing in the garden and there's curfews. And yeah, it's just a bit of a nightmare. And especially at that time, because at that time the war had only just started. So I think the war had only been going for like a year and a half. When we first met, the war had literally just started, because on the contract that we met Sasha when he was flying home, 2 days before he flew home, the airport had been blown up and it's still not been rebuilt. Like, it's insane how quick that escalated. Anyway, so we had to rent an apartment in Kiev and it was just very, very different. Like, it was fantastic, but it was very, very different to what I was used to. And it was in like this... So the thing about Kiev is that the Krasiatik, which is the main street, which is almost like the Nevsky Prospect in St. Petersburg, it's the main street, right? So you've got like Fifth Avenue in New York, for example, or you've got Oxford Street in London. You have this place called Krasiatik in Kiev, and it is so glamorous. And it is, you know, there's gold on all the churches, and like the main street is just, it's just gorgeous. And there's so much money there. But, you know, two metro stops just outside of that and it's a completely different place. And that was I mean, I'm so used to it now, but I remember the first time I went there, it was so different for me. It was so incredibly different. And yeah, I had to get used to lots of people. It's a tradition where lots of people, you know, just get extra money. They just sit up on the streets, set up little stalls on the streets anywhere, just anywhere, selling like their own homegrown fruit and veg. And again, I think that's incredible that they're doing that and they're making money off something that they're doing themselves. But it's, again, it's so different because here you just, you wouldn't really see that. So it was a culture shock. I'm used to it now. But yeah, it was great. And I mean, I love Kiev now. I love how cheap the food is, which is terrible because I go and I gain like 5 stones. Like, fat Anna is in her element. Like, I'm just like, I just go to Kiev and eat all the time. But yeah, so no, that was really interesting though. And I mean, I love Ukraine. I love Kiev so much that I had to get my friends and family out there when we got married. I was like, we need to get married in Kiev so that it's a mutual ground for us, because visas are too tricky to get people over here. But also, I really wanted, I was desperate for my friends and family to see it, just to see the, you know, the place, the country where my husband's from. And I just like absolutely, yeah, I really love it. I really love it.
And I'm so sad I didn't get to be on that wedding.
You know, Bjorn, I have to tell you the story about this, right? So me and Bjorn were, what were we doing? We were rehearsing for Bella. So Sasha, when Sasha proposed to me, he did this huge thing on the ship and like completely knocked me for six. It was incredible. And then me and Bjorn were rehearsing for our third contract together, and we had to do, the company we used to work for, they used to make you do this fitness thing called Urban Heroes.
Yeah.
Now it's optional, which is really cool. But at the time you know, they were like, right, you're doing this, which was, it was awesome, because it was like a bonding session and it was a free fitness thing. Like, it was
like for fun.
It was fun. It was fun.
Every cast did it for fun.
It was fun. It was brutal, but it was fun. And I think just before it, Bjorn came up to me. I was like, oh my God, guess what? I have some good news. And I said, oh, you can come to my wedding. And he went, no, I'm going on the world cruise. And I was like, I couldn't even, I couldn't even look him in the eyes. And I stormed off like the drama queen that I am. And I did that. I just channeled all of that anger. I couldn't even congratulate him. I just went,
but the thing was, I had been waiting to hear whether I'd gotten the world cruise or not. So, because it had been like a long process, and so I'd been telling Anna about it and and all of, but then at the same time, she was planning her wedding and inviting everybody, and I came to her and I was like, I have some really good news, and she's like, oh, what? And I was like, I have the world cruise, and she was,
I did Annie. Annie came out and she stormed off. I just, yeah, it's a good job we got to work out, because I worked out. And afterwards, I went up to her and went, look, I'm really sorry. I am really happy for you. I'm just selfishly also really pissed off, because I genuinely really wanted him at my wedding. But it all worked out. It was fine.
And then when I saw pictures and videos of the location, I was so sad that I wasn't there because it was gorgeous. It was like this castle and this whole land was around it, and it was like this almost like a botanical garden that was around this castle. Like, it really was this, like, it was beautiful.
I mean, there was no castle, but okay, it was outside.
No,
there was
a house. It was a big house.
There was no big house.
It was a big house.
I think he looked at somebody else's
wedding.
But it's all fine.
You showed me a video, and there was this massive house with a huge garden, with the pond, with the bridge over it, where you took the pictures.
That was Cinderella.
Yeah, that was the movie we watched.
Starring, what's her face?
There definitely was a big house, and you will not tell me otherwise.
No, there was a big building.
Why don't I take the time and just say thank you so much for being on the show. We definitely covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. A few different topics.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. And I think you guys gave a lot of great advice for people who are, you know, maybe going back into the world of travel this summer. Hopefully, cross your fingers.
Yeah.
To not be afraid. You know, you can be afraid of the virus, but don't be afraid of the actual experience itself, and that there's room for, you know, experiencing things on your own. So thank you guys. Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. As a reminder, we have new episode coming out every Monday. If you like what we have to talk about, make sure you subscribe, like, rate, and review us, as well as give us a follow on Instagram @ We Have A Lot To Talk About podcast. We really appreciate it. Until next time, ta-da!